Welcome back to another episode of Soma Soulworks. Where do faith and art meet? What does it mean to be made in God's image, knowing his nature as a creator? This podcast is an open-ended wrestling with God at the seam of Christianity and creativity as artisans working in the world of arts and entertainment. Welcome back to the Soma Soulworks podcast. This is part of a series we're doing on a document we'll be releasing sometime called An Achievement Guide for Redemptive Game Developers. And we're looking at a series of deliberately high goals that we thought that we could kind of put forward as like, how as game developers could we basically just do our business differently, that we could identify some of the pitfalls and try to act proactively against them. Guys, I want to thank you. I've got Brandon, Mark, Neil, and Chris in the studio, and James here with the headphones. So, for the sake of going it over, these ones that we have, we call them pace over pressure, connection over isolation, authenticity over posing, God's reality over virtual reality, imago Dei over imago hominens, wealth over money, and celebration over exploitation. For today, we're going to look at this one called pace over pressure. And the summary we have in the document says, we resist and reject the culture of crunch on principle. Instead of endless, unquestioned productivity, we practice a rhythm of work and rest and a regular filtering for value over volume. We dig into our need to grow in all the dimensions of our being human, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we commit to take one full day every week for complete rest from our daily work and to make Sabbath possible for everyone within our sphere of authority. So that's the summary of the topic. And probably this is one for almost anyone who has any awareness of the game industry. They're aware of the debate about crunch. Hmm. So this was at the top of the list, mostly for the sake of how kind of obvious it was. But let's talk about it.
Well, one thing that I came into a revelation of years ago, because this is gaming in this discipline is and this community is something that I've been into my whole professional career, basically. You know, I stepped out for a few years here and there and whatnot. But so I was always used to crunch. It was just that systemic expectation, that thing, that badge of honor we talked about in earlier podcasts, you know, that it's seen as. But I thought it was just systemic to the gaming industry until I was being made more aware of friends that I have at CPA firms, marketing businesses, attorneys. Everybody's got crunch. It's like it's this whole human condition now, or at least a Western condition of where I don't care what profession it is, you're putting in the hours, and that I don't know where that has come from. You know, to where now it's just become the norm, where it's like if you have any free time, you are wasting time.
Yeah. I think there's this, like let's just say, and I couldn't tell you, again, I'm not looking for a where did this happen, but today, from the moment you can walk and talk, you are harnessed to a plow. That's what we do. Like, you will be productive. And that starts with school, but the reason you're in school is so you can get a job, and the reason you have a job is so that you can retire. Like, there's just this whole thing. Your whole life is like, you will be productive. That's it. And that becomes the way that we measure our success. We measure our value. You hear people say, like, well, money is how you keep score, right? And so, like, this idea, like, I am productive. And probably one of the social problems that we have the hardest time understanding is things like homelessness and unemployment, because it has all this stigma attached to it. And I think men in particular, although I certainly see a lot of women in the same place too, it's like we get so much of our value from our job, right? Like, so like, and I think that you guys have mentioned this, like with gaming, but in other places as well. Like, when I derive my sense of internal value from how many hours am I working, that's the world, in the sense, like, that's not the devil. I don't even know that it's the flesh, but it is the world. It's a system that says, this is what's normal. Why are you complaining? Mm-hmm. It's always been this way.
And I also think work is a form of escapism as well.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because there's rules, and there's, you know, more quantifiable. This is what you do. This is not what you do. Certain things you do that are negative, you're going to get fired. Certain things you do well, you're going to get paid more. It's carrot and stick.
Yeah.
Where a lot of times in life, you step outside those four walls, it's not so black and white. It's very gray. It's dangerous. It's risky. There's that air of vulnerability that you have to have in order to engage with life. And a lot of people just they don't want to do that. It's too much risk. And so it's easy to escape back into work, into that known quantity, that place. So that's something to, you know, to kind of ponder and be aware of as well.
You ever notice how, let me phrase this a different way. JB was someone who made the habit of rest like a really deliberate thing for him. Mm-hmm. And I remember when he started his, he would do a digital Shabbat every Sunday. He'd turn all his devices off. And at first that was really hard for him, right? It was just a challenge. Turn the phone off. Oh my gosh. What if there's an emergency? All the reasons that come up.
Of course.
What really struck me is that he had, if his level of challenge to turn the devices off was a 5, it was his colleagues who made it a 10. They're like, what do you mean you're not available? Like, yeah. And so this idea that I'm not here to answer your questions 24 hours a day, like it was just shocking how many people were really offended that he was off grid, that he was resting. Mm-hmm. So his own Sabbath was one question. Your Sabbath is offensive to me, damn it, because I have a question. Yeah. And I'm working. Why aren't you working?
Yeah. But that also is very interesting. It raises the value of that individual as well, that they're not accessible. Mm-hmm. We're way too accessible.
Yeah.
And therefore, the perceived value goes down. But you go offline for a little bit, and all of a sudden start that appreciation, albeit couched in frustration maybe,
yeah.
but that appreciation and that value in others as they see you, which they had access to, you now don't, that's a good thing.
Mm.
I really do. It potentially counteracts exploitation or certain expectations that you just assume. We got to get out a lot of assumption, you know, towards people.
Yeah.
In that respect.
How does this concept of Sabbath, and I don't want to use that word because it's too religious, this idea of rest.
Yeah, rest.
Yeah.
How does that hit you? Like, if you're, like, bottom line is like, no, you have to rest.
In this culture, it's pretty bad because it's against the norm. And then other cultures, I've been around a few different other cultures, the warmer climates tend to be a little bit more restful, and the colder climates tend to be really harsh on no rest, just keep going. Very productive, you know, all the time.
Well, they have to stay moving to stay warm.
There's that.
There's that, for sure. And it's a different part. Like, as we've gotten into this busier life, especially with technology, allowing us to connect all the time, you just have to stay productive. And it just, there isn't a moment to rest when it's so needed for humans. Like it's proven many times over, when you rest, then you can actually live better, like in many different ways, and work better, and like your relationships are better. All these different things are proven through a bunch of different studies I've done, but it's not taken into account in the normal American culture.
No, I mean,
at all.
There's this trope of, you guys have heard this before, but it's like, I need a vacation from my vacation.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you don't even rest on when
vacations.
You rest. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you bring an agenda into vacation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta hit all of these boxes because
I gotta get all this other work done.
Yeah, it's so crazy to think about it that way. Yeah.
And, you know, even when, you know, we feel pretty like we've accomplished the thing, that we've got this 40-hour work week and like this is highlight of society, except that then you get off of your one job to go home just to another job. And if you're not working there, you're lazy.
Right.
And so it's funny that we have to even have the conversation that rest is valuable for its own purpose. Like,
right.
We have to define this.
Yeah.
You just mentioned accomplishments too, which is another piece, I think, of this is like, if I'm not doing something, then I don't have value. There's something in that where if I'm not actively working towards some sort of goal and accomplishment, then I'm not valued, which is very odd when you think about exactly what God says, like, he loves you, he values you just for being. Like, wait a second, that's slightly opposite than what I get through a lot of things around me and the culture and so on.
Let me ask you a question. So God creates the world 6 days. He rests. Did he have to?
Yeah.
Did he have to?
Did he have to rest?
No.
Was he tired?
No.
Yeah.
And yet, isn't that an interesting thought? And so I think that sometimes we can imagine sleep, like, my body needs sleep. I like, in the same way, it needs food. It's a, and so we can understand sleep better than we could understand rest, because rest feels wasteful. Mm-hmm. Sleep at least is necessary.
Like, sleep is forced, though. Like, yes. Your body will shut you down eventually if you don't do it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the reminder God programmed and designed us. He built that cycle into there to, like, reinforce the whole Sabbath. Like, mm-hmm. He didn't have to take that day off. He did it to establish the model that he wants us to follow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sleep is like an example of that. Like, you know what I mean? It's not only like I'm telling you, you need it. Your body needs it. Your soul, your mind has to be refreshed. It's a cycle, right?
But I want to go deeper than that. Like, but that's true. But also, like, to follow God, to be like God, is to rest.
Mm.
Like, it's not a necessity of the flesh. It is a virtue of God.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the restoration of all things, we'll still rest. You know, it's not because it's a limitation of our flesh.
Mm-hmm. But you might ask yourself, like, well, why, right? Like, that's what I keep hearing.
Yeah.
Like, why? Well, what do you do when you rest? Mm-hmm. You reflect. And so I feel like there's value in reflecting and introspection mm-hmm. of that, like, that you don't get when you're not resting.
Yeah. Right?
And why is that? Because in that introspection and in that reflection, you're able to identify potential things that you missed out on, or mistakes, or a lot of times it's seen as a very negative thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we as humans, that fight or flight, we want to avoid pain, we want to avoid negativity. And so, you know, we keep busy.
Dude, I that is probably so deep. The way that we avoid rest because we're avoiding thinking. We're avoiding reflection. Oh, I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, just I was doing for a number of months neurofeedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mm-hmm. it's like a therapy.
Yeah.
Because my son's autistic, and so he was doing this therapy as well, and I saw it was really working for him. And I did, Chris. I had a real problem taking the pause, because when I paused, my world still kept spinning in my head. It was literally a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And so going through this neurofeedback and whatever, it was really great, because it really helped kind of just settle me and calm me. Because I just, it was hard for me to, with this whirlwind, to grasp and reflect, Brandon, on certain things. The cyclone was just too quick, even though I was physically still.
Yeah.
My, you know, there was still a mindset that needed to be quieted as well. And it's taken practice to do that. You know, I mean, monks go into years to try and figure out how to meditate well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's just, yeah, that's something that I've just really had to go to the Father, you know, mm-hmm. and Holy Ghost, and just be like, can you just please just calm my spirit?
Right.
You know, really just let me appreciate and understand that pause.
That's good. That's
and cool. And it is. But it's scary, though, too, because once you pause, you're able to see things clearly, and you're not really sure what you're going to see. So sometimes there's a bliss in that ignorance.
Yeah.
So you keep busy.
I'm going to put a different spin on this. And Brandon, this is something I think that you're super good at, and honestly, I really admire, is...
climbing?
Well, yeah. So this is where I'm going to go. Like I think that that we can think about Sabbath and rest as like sitting on the couch and staring.
Yeah, right.
But I think it broadly more means play.
It does.
Yeah. And I was going to bring up play too.
Yeah.
Play is a big part of this.
Yeah. Like I can't just sit around like on the couch. Like, that's not how I want to spend my rest day. And so, like, my rest looks different than a lot of people. Like, my idea of resting is like getting away from the computer,
yes,
offloading all thought, and just going out and throwing myself at like a mountain.
I still remember the Zoom meeting. You're on cross country skis.
Yeah.
That was the most bitching thing ever. I'm just like, dude, that was inspiring. I was mad. But I was inspired.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like physical in the sense the rest isn't physical, but like my soul and my emotional state gets like refreshed because I can just so not think about anything else except the experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point, Chris. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to mean stop and sit on a couch and not do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one. The one piece that comes back to is like, what do you enjoy that you don't get to do in the midst of your normal work life?
Yeah.
Well, even in the tie it with the Sabbath idea.
Exactly.
Like, I feel this is going to sound like another trope, but like, I'm not going to say like my church is in the woods. I'm not going to say that, but I do have.
But you mean it.
Well, I always feel like I experience more of God in those environments because there's less distraction. And I'm also reminded, like, I tend to go places where it's his creation is magnified. Like, I'm in the mountains. It's like, man, it's there. It's in my face. And I feel like I feel so thankful to be able to experience it. Yeah, right? Like, cool. I'm set up right for that.
Yes.
And I think the anchor for this is something like, honestly, like, this is a real-time connection I just made, is this idea that God rested after creation because that's what God does. God doesn't have a body that needs rest. And the idea that we think about Sabbath as for our spirit, for our soul primarily, and not primarily for our bodies, I think that helps make play make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
You're just like, it's not about that.
Yeah, my mind just got blown with that right there.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I love that idea. And yet I'm also aware that, let me to another angle in the church, this is more of a kind of church specific thing. We see Jesus tangling with the Pharisees over Sabbath all the time, right? We see this and the Pharisees are freaking out and Jesus is like, mellow out, you're getting it wrong. And I think what has happened on accident in modern church is most Christians kind of think that Sabbath isn't necessary, right? They're like, well, Jesus made all, like, he didn't seem to have a problem with this. It was the other bad religious people who were freaking out about Sabbath. So I guess we don't do it. I'm like, did you know it's one of the Ten Commandments? Like, you don't think that because now, like, adultery and lying and murder, like, those are all fine, right? So, like, this is, like, so why are you ignoring this? And I remember seeing a guy at boot camp was like, there's a look on his face like, I never noticed that. It's a commandment. Oh, my gosh. Like, you saw conviction fall on him in a way that – and it's just a wild thought. Like, that's the level of importance God puts on it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Of, like, don't have other gods beside me and to give yourself a break. Right?
Yeah.
Well, so Lazzy, you were just talking about the – if God rested on the seventh day, as you were saying that time of it, the other thing that's different is on the seventh day, he got to enjoy his creation.
Yeah.
So you're doing work and you're living, you're doing your life, but you don't get a moment to enjoy what you have done. Like, you need that moment as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just retribution. It's like, oh, hey, look, I have been doing stuff. Oh, God didn't just rest to rest. He also rested like, oh, I made some good stuff. I'm going to look at the good stuff now.
To enjoy the fruit of your labor. That's powerful.
Yeah. It's really funny. Having made a number of games, it's funny. Coming to the end of a production, I don't ever really recall myself ever saying, oh, I can't wait to play the game I made.
So I've never said that. And right? I actually don't know if I've ever actually even played like something I did retail.
Right.
Usually you are so done. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to disconnect and do something else.
Yeah.
You want to go instantly to the Sabbath for like a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, when I was in high school, a friend of mine worked at, it was then Winchell's Donuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was there for a few years. And I'd go in there. I was always excited, you know,
because
I get free donut holes or whatever and you know, whatever. It's like, how come you're not eating? He's like, I'm sick of donuts, man. I'm so tired of these things. I've seen how sausages are made, you know, that kind of a thing. And I'm just done. And so I trade, you know, dozens of donuts with Pizza Hut down the street, you know, and we do this trade. I love pizza, but they're sick of pizza, but they love my donuts. Yeah. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. And so
just, but yeah, that's really interesting because I really don't give myself the opportunity to reflect on the fruits of my labor, you know, or our labor, you know, for those listening and all of us here. It's just like,
That's interesting. Good. Yeah. Interesting piece.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm going to tell a story that one of these days, this guy's going to write me a letter because I've used this story more than once. basically was getting to meet basically a department in a major studio. There were kind of a few Christians in the studio, right? So we had three or four fellas who were relatively youngsters and then their supervisor, whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. And this topic came up. And we were largely kind of telling stories about, like, what is it like to be a Christian in the industry, this kind of stuff. But then the story of arrest came up. And I remember the leader guy telling the story. And he the look in his eyes is he was really sincere. And I think he was aware that his juniors were watching. So he was trying to sort of like do a lesson, right? Like mm-hmm. at the thing. But he was talking about how this one guy was a Christian on his team who wanted to take Sundays off. And then this leader made a point on how unchristian that was. Because what had happened then is like he was set this one young Christian who wanted to take the break was setting a bad example, because now all the other people now they were sort of pressured not to work, and we got to get the job done, right? So this was sort of his logic. And I almost came over the table at the guy. And this was sort of the last comment in the summary on this topic is, as a leader, not only do you have to be aware of your own need for rest, but you have to make it possible for the people who work for you to rest. Mm-hmm. And we talked in a different session about how it's one thing to make it possible. It's another thing to encourage it. Like, where is your work-life balance, man? Like, Brandon, y'all need to go home. like, it's an interesting thing, though, that for this guy, and I think he was sincere, but he had lost it. He had lost his grounding in scripture, in just good practice, just like, how do you treat human beings? But he had turned it into a virtue in the way that he was. So I did call him out in front of his mates. One of these days, he's probably mad at me. But I was really frustrated just the way that came out. Mm-hmm. I think everyone at this table right now is you have other people who are working for you in one regard. How does that feel like letting the other people, maybe making the other people mm-hmm. rest?
Mm-hmm. Well, at the same time, it's really good because I'll find myself projecting my concern on other people. And kind of mandating or telling them something that they don't want to really step into, even though I think it's for their good, but they're like, no, I'm fine. You know, don't, whatever, you yeah. know, it's just like, case in point, you know, our art director don't want to take time away from her to work on this little widget that I need going on, for, you know, my game that we're working on, because she's got so many things that she's dealing with right now, and she's just so critical path in other areas. And Chris, you encourage me to tap her on the shoulder and just make the request, just make the ask, the power of the ask, right?
Yeah.
And she would be the one to be, you know, sitting there saying, I'm just way too busy. You know, Mark, you go figure it out. She'd never tell me to do that, but yeah, or go pound sand, you know. But it was really great because it's just like, no, you know what? I would really enjoy this. In fact, it'd be kind of a nice little break, you know, to kind of get out of my routine. And you know, this thing that I could help you with, it's only going to take me just a few hours. It's not a big deal. It's not taxing. And so, yeah, I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
To be empathetic and to look out, but just to ask, you know, how are you doing? Check in. Make people feel seen and heard and actively listen.
Yeah.
Don't assume.
Hmm. I'll tell you, this is this idea of like how is it to be in a supervisory role and to expect people to rest. On the one hand, it feels a little bit paternal, like you're a grown up, right. You can figure this out. Like mm-hmm. I see that side of it. But on the other hand, if it were another topic, I wouldn't feel that way. Like if it was, are you eating? Right? Like that wouldn't feel strange, right? Like this is good for everybody.
You sound like my wife. Have you eaten today?
Yeah.
No, I'm just busy.
And there's another thing just about, I think, setting an example that even if someone doesn't feel that they need to rest, the idea that they can, I mean, they can go home and work on something else, right? But the idea that there is a break in the schedule, like we are not working on Sunday, period. Mm-hmm. I think there's an organizational question and then probably a departmental question as it goes down. That if that doesn't come from the top, it won't happen. Mm-hmm. Right? Because otherwise, it's the subtle, like, well, there is no policy. If you want to work, you can work. Like, otherwise, yeah. it's subtle, but it really says it's like we should be working all the time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I think it has to come from the top.
Yeah, and then how do you manage that when you're in like a situation? Right now, we're currently at the end of a product life cycle, or almost getting it out. That's always the busiest part of any project,
the last
right?
10% and so 90%, like, yeah.
So you have to figure out how to make that work, reconcile that. Yeah. Like, we got a lot to do, we got to get it done, but also rest. So,
And it's been challenging. We've had some audibles come in the team of vacations all of a sudden arising and you know, people being, you know, removed and off doing something. And there's been holes that have been left.
Which has been kind of interesting because, like, I'm so used to coming from, like, the AAA studio where, like, they literally will say, okay, nobody's taking vacation for the next 9 months. Mm-hmm. Like, they say that.
Yeah.
And nobody can go rock climbing. Nobody can go skiing or do riding motorcycles or anything.
So it always starts there. And then you get like about 3 months in. Okay. So we're going to need everyone to work every Saturday. And then, you know, a couple months later, it's like, we're going to need everyone to go. It's, you know what I mean? It's like they just worse and worse. Just escalates.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
At least EA bought really good dinner. So.
Oh, yeah. Was, like, but.
That was great. But. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But all that really, you think about that, all that really is just pandering to you. It's like this is really bad for your heart, but at least we give you good pizza or whatever, or catering or whatever, right? And so it's just paying you off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and studios, most publishers would never feed you before 7, because as soon as you eat, you just leave.
Exactly.
So they would hold the carrot out just a little bit longer and squeeze every last ounce.
Yeah.
And then they'd feed you. And as soon as dinner rolled up, I was like out. I left. I didn't even eat. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just want to get home.
Yeah. I'll say this though, it's like, I do think that the idea of the 40-hour work week is just as arbitrary and artificial as anything else. So like in the same way, like I think that we've had some of this. We've been working through this for a while. Like, what is the balance? Because sometimes you just have to freaking work. Like, it's okay to work hard. It's okay to work long hours. There's nothing in the Bible that says 40-hour week is biblical.
Yeah.
That's not the thing. And so I'm not against long hours on principle. I'm against a pattern that nobody rests,
right?
And so it's probably worth saying, like, and there's unhealthiness. Like if everyone's working 80-hour weeks, even with the Sabbath, they're doing it for like years at a time. Like that's not good. But I don't need the Bible to tell me that.
Yeah, your body will tell you that.
Yes.
As it shuts down and you drill on the sidewalk.
So let's get practical then. One of the things I think that makes rest so hard from an organizational standpoint is it's expensive, right? It's like every time. So especially if I'm paying you a salary, so this isn't an hour. Like if you're on a salary, that means that every hour that you're not working, I'm paying for it anyway. So I might as well just keep you busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if our product cycle goes from 1 year to 2, that's just more money, right? I mean, that bottom line is just bottom line.
It gets exponential.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's from 10 people to, I think about 200 people working at that thing and It becomes a big number.
Yeah.
So, like, there is a practical reality here. I get how we get here. But I'm reminded again, like, just to go biblical again, like, why are you in Babylon? Well, because you didn't let your land rest, which was an economic decision.
Ooh. Yeah.
That one wasn't even personal.
Well, no, that goes in again to counting the costs on the onset of what it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
You factor in and budget that in.
Yeah.
And you make that a mandate and a tenant in your production going forward, and whatever document that it's going to get filtered to the team, that's got to be there. But it's also got to be a predictable factor that you work in early and make sure that, you know, you've got the finances and your investors are aware of it and whatever. But yeah, there's ways to mitigate it.
Yeah.
But it needs to be predictable at the very onset so it doesn't creep up on you later and you're, like you said, you're left where you just need people in there and you can't afford for people to have empty seats.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. I reckon looks like we probably run this about a half an hour, which is probably about right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, these are meant to be kind of quick bites at each of these topics. We may or may not come back to them in future episodes. And so thanks for joining Soma Soulworks, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us. This is just one offering from Soma Soulworks, a production of Soma Games. To learn more, check out SomaSoulWorks.com, and we'd appreciate your support through Patreon.com/SomaSoulWorks.